I'd like to welcome everyone out tonight. Sorry we're running a few minutes late. October 13th, 2020, regular city council meeting. We're going ahead and start tonight. I've asked Russ to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance and Coulter to offer us the prayer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be able to meet tonight as city leaders and community members. Please bless our council members that they can make good decisions. And please, we ask you to bless this valley with some moisture that we direly need. And thank you for all the blessings that we do have. I say things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Roll call.
Justin.
Yeah, here.
Kevin.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Russell.
Here.
Rondi.
Here.
And Sam.
Here.
Okay, next item on our agenda is approval of the minutes from the September 8th, 2020 regular city council meeting held at 6:30 p.m. Any questions anybody see?
If not, I'll make a motion that we accept the minutes for 8 September 2020, 6:30 p.m. regular meeting.
Let Justin do it? Is that what I hear? Okay, I have the motion by Russell and seconded by Justin to approve the minutes of the September 8th, 2020 regular city council meeting held at 6:30. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next item is our September 22nd, 2020 regular city council meeting. Approve the minutes of that meeting held at 6:30.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes of September 22nd, 2020, 6:30 regular meeting.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, I have the motion by Sam and seconded by Rondi to approve the minutes of the September 22nd, 2020 regular city council meeting held at 6:30 p.m. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next item is approval of adjustments. the transfer register dated 9/1/2020 to 9/30/2020 in the amount of $11,063.63.
I just had a question about the pump, the Twin Creek pump and the let's see here, the wall ditch pump. What were those used for?
Kind of useful. It shows on the transaction register that Valley's kind of got to go shame. They manually calculate the bill afterwards, so because it's manually calculated, that's why it shows on the transaction register.
Okay.
So basically, what you look at is just their monthly bill.
What it is, the time of use, so we give them a break if they run the pumps during off peak hours. It's like half the cost. And so we got the on-peak hour rate and then the off-peak hour rate.
Okay.
And so we have to figure that out.
So basically they just run them at night, don't they?
Yeah, they want to get the
get that rate.
Yeah, get that rate, yeah.
The irrigation pumps, right?
Right, right.
I'll make a motion to approve the transaction register dated 9/1/2020 to 9/30/2020 in the amount of $11,063.62.
One quick question I had, sorry.
Okay.
What is the tenant's proposed house burned down? On the very back and bottom on page 2.
Oh, that was the cabin that burned down.
Oh, up in the Sky Mountain Door.
Yeah.
Okay, are you trying to think of any houses in burnt town? I just can't think of anything in town. That's right. Okay. I'll make a second on that.
Okay. I have a motion by Kevin and seconded by Sam to approve the transaction register dated 9/1/2020 to 9/30/2020 in the amount of $11,063.63. Roll call.
Justin.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Russell.
Yes.
Rondi.
Yes.
And Sam.
Yes.
Next item is approval of claims and requisitions. Claim register dated 9/22/2020 to 10/9/2020 in the dollar amount of $472,315.37.
$472,000.
Yes. Yes, sorry.
A little bit different.
Sorry.
What is that?
Too many big numbers.
So on the tackle football for $37, it says EMT for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade tackle.
So she posted that 6th, 7th,
EMT at the
tackle football. How come I never
seen
him there? I've gone to all my kids' games, I've never seen him there.
You didn't see him on the sidelines?
They were up there at tournament. I seen an EMT up there, but
maybe they're in disguise.
Maybe. I was curious. Most of them have an EMT shirt on though when they're...
Yeah, they should have.
They should have.
So I haven't been there this year. Last year when I was there, there was an EMT shirt. They just
As far as seventh grade games, they never had anybody. Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what I was just curious with. It was.
I bet you probably someone setting up in the stand.
And they could have been, but I mean, usually they're pretty obvious to find.
Yeah, they're usually down on the sidelines with their shirt on, so you see them.
Just a thought process. Maybe they, you know, somebody else sees that and might do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Have the same thoughts, anyway.
I can ask Stephanie.
So is the city liable for that?
Well, it's through the recreation.
I don't know.
Doesn't that come out of Steph's budget?
Yeah.
Dave, that comes out of the recreation budget?
Yes. The liability will still be carried through the blanket kind of policy.
I had a question on page 12, Santa County Sheriff Resource Officer, North Santa Fe School District.
We pay that every year.
Yeah, it's the high school resource officer.
It's the high school, and it's not just our.
And we don't pay all of it.
No, it's not just our.
That's percentage.
Yes.
It comes, I think all of the cities have to pay for us having the resource officer from the school district.
Okay. Well, I definitely think it's a good thing to have a resource officer up there.
Oh, yeah, the police chief, Chief Gilbert, thinks it's a, you know, fantastic thing to, it's a great resource to have.
They got to have a presence, I was just wondering. I didn't know that.
And I did look, that, it hasn't gone up, that's what we paid last year.
Okay.
Yeah, they got from the office and down the principal, back away from the principal's office. Been there all the time.
Yeah, I knew they, we had an officer up there, the city was helping out.
And my understanding is he doesn't, I mean, his office is at the high school, but he works with all of the schools in the school district. If there's any problems over at middle school, if he goes over there or anywhere else, he works.
He does cover the school district, yes.
It could be Greg Peterson.
It is still Greg.
Still Greg, yeah.
Any more questions, I'll make a motion if there's not.
We're ready.
I make a motion to approve the invoice register from September 22nd to October 9th, 2020, in amount of $472,315.37.
I'll second it. Okay, I have the motion by Justin and seconded by Russell to approve the claim register dated 9/22/2020 to 10/9/2020 in the amount of $472,315.37. Roll call.
Justin?
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yeah.
Russell?
Yeah.
Rocky?
Yes.
And Sam?
Yes. Next item, public participation.
We don't get these requisitions.
We're going to do that as that time, that part of that. That's part of the power department.
Okay.
Is that right, Shane, we just wait? Yeah, we'll do them. Okay. We'll just do them during the power department this time.
Right.
Sorry about the confusion here for a second. Thanks for coming, Pam.
I'm back. I appreciate the lettering that's been done on the newer parts. The older part still has a problem. Some spring party heads, I'm assuming, is part of the problem. And just wondered if there's someone that could go out and check and see which ones need to be fixed. And I was told they're quite expensive, but would be nice if you could have a few of those on hand for when one goes out, then you could replace it. And I don't know who to talk to make sure that's done, but the ordering should be done now, and then maybe next spring we could take care of that. The other problem was the spring. I spoke to Lynn Larson, and he said he would get back with me with a price, but then he talked to Coulter and said that he would go through him. And so I don't know if that's been done. He did ask for a 5-year contract, if he got that, which to me would be a good idea. At least it would be done, because it wasn't done this year and it wasn't done last year. So, and the other thing I was a little concerned about was the comment on the power bill at the end of the newsletter about our concern for citizens if we wanted the cemetery water. But It's not just the water. It's the trees and the headstones and the gophers and the rock wall and the thistles. So I know it's it needs to be taken care of. So there's perpetual care money. And this is just a few suggestions, like the sprinklers that maybe you could order and have so they could be put in spring. That old park is really bad. I don't know if we could designate someone to be over. I know Justin is over the cemetery, but if you could designate a worker to be over that so that these things would get done, or we could speak to someone if it was or wasn't done. That's a suggestion too.
It would all come back to Coulter because he's over them all.
So do you suggest that Coulter to have one worker be over the cemetery?
So they have more grounds to mow and take care of than just the cemetery.
Right. But and the ball fields look awesome. They do. They don't have thistles. They don't have dry spots, which I can understand the water issue and everything. But they also, they're mowed and they're trimmed. And the cemetery is not, so.
I had a guy working in the cemetery today. So he was working on the sprinklers in the A section this morning.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I'll give you my number.
Would you? That would be awesome. Sure, you know good about this. On our own here.
So the perpetual fund money, that's what we use to maintain the cemetery and any improvements.
So part of our concern while we put it the way we did on our newsletter was because anytime the city's watering and a citizen can't water, we get phone calls like crazy in the city hall. And so that's why we just done it on the newsletter for just watering. That was the whole reason for the watering part of that on the newsletter.
Catch messages at 12 o'clock at night.
So, well, give me your phone number too.
You've already got it.
But just to explain that a little bit more, why we just done that on the newsletter.
Well, and again, as you can see, my concern.
Yeah, there's more concerns than just what was on the newsletter,
right.
But
yeah.
But that was the reason why we wrote it the way we did.
Is that to let the people know that you are going to water and just so they know why?
We want to see the results that come back. And I haven't seen the numbers or anything yet.
Okay.
On that part.
Time.
Yeah. We should have them by the end of the month.
Just would like to follow through on the spring. And when I spoke to Lynn, he said that he would give us a 5-year contract or bid, and that he in turn would do the cemetery for free this year because it's so late in the fall, that if he did get the bid, he would go out and spray that.
Yeah, the spray this time of year won't do much good on,
other than the thistles it will. Because
yeah.
I've contacted people on this.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. On thistles it will do good.
Yeah.
But other than that, it won't do it.
A question in regards to the feedback. So what if you get a handful of people that say, no, we shouldn't let the city water, and unless we get to water, I mean, does that mean we're going to say, okay, we're not going to water the cemetery? I guess my concern is if we get a handful of people that say no, are we going
to... I guess we have to address it when we see the results come back.
What weight are we going to put into that?
And I'm sure there are some that are going to say that. So
yeah.
Are you going to go 50-50? If there's 51% that say do it, then do it. Are you going to go by just what they say?
My opinion is we would water it regardless of what the results are.
I think it needs to be maintained. I really do.
So.
I think it does, other than to an extent. If the water's not there, then it's not, you know. If you have a bad spot or something, like a really bad drought, somewhat like this year, I mean, we could probably water it more.
Yeah.
But I think there's still somewhat of a limit until we get the water, culinary, because water, especially culinary water, if it was irrigation, it would be different, in my opinion. But
I understand all that. I think that we could be a little creative and look at things of how we could do a little bit more for the city properties.
And I do think that the old section, some of those, if they're just were adjusted, you know, you could see them shooting in a straight line. You know, I mean, they just need to really be maintained to go out, and that's why I wondered about one person going out and seeing, turning them on and seeing which ones are working, which ones aren't, and ordering the new sprinklers. I don't know if there even is any new ones to put in.
I've got sprinklers on.
You do? And so therefore we have some, so.
I'm with you though, Pam. I think that cemetery is something that needs to be taken care of.
Thank you.
Water wise and everything else. We can do away with water here at the city, we can do away with water at the park, we can do away with water. That's the last place that we shut the water off.
I agree.
Thanks, just funny, a little one, yes, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Financial presentation, Dave.
So I'll keep it brief, we've got some other things we'll have to discuss on the agenda. Thinking of quarterly reports, of course, well, my preferred method is to meet with people one-on-one answering questions, and that's my favorite job here at the city, is going through the financials. Our general fund's performing quite well in the COVID and uncertain times. There's $70,000 right now in the black in the general fund, which is better than I hoped. We just got our first property tax, and that was slightly up from last year, so far we haven't seen any negative effects of that. Sales tax continues to grow at a solid rate. And our swimming pool is the one area probably where due to COVID we got hit the hardest. I kind of looked at those seasonal trends, and they'll give me that graph to track. We'll notice about 6 weeks in there, we'll be at $0 come through that pool. So we probably lost about $20,000 for COVID-19 shutdown with that pool. Looking forward, though, projecting, the pool's performing a little better than last year. Last year, it lost about $71,000. Currently, we're projecting about $60,000. So Brittany's done some good management there and made up some ground. My understanding is a lot of it is new aquatic center programs that are attributed to some increases. What I would like to see maybe with her would be kind of like a time usage analysis. I mean, I have the daily, weekly revenues, but it would be good to see as we ever have discussions, should the pool be open more or closed less? Okay, what is kind of our head count coming in? Does it make sense to try to hire more people to operate more hours, or is it not? Is the demand something out there to worry about that type of projects? So that's mainly the highlights of the general fund. The water fund is performing astronomical right now. I think we got some meters to put in that. If you're going to count that fund, you kind of perform. And we're both done with the Aspen Village project. Did have one complication though from the state side, but the worker from the state that allocates the funds, she's retired, so my draws have been slower. But I'll try to work with Terry Brotherson to make sure our local contractors get paid in a speed and manner. Sewer funds performing quite well. Irrigation is in the black right now. Tyler would be performing good. We've had some unfortunate breaks there, but it's come along pretty good too.
That's all that we started to pull right now, of course.
It's the one that I would say with prior administrations, there was a question asked, can we afford a full-time pool and what's our impact? Mm-hmm. And I've kind of said, as long as we're not losing $100,000 a year in our general fund, then we can afford that. We've been well below that kind of a benchmark, so.
When the pool was closed, did we see much of a drop in our gas bill and stuff because of that?
No.
Being? So we turned it down just a little bit, but not a lot.
Our expenses did not drop much at all.
What's
interesting
on that note,
too? Cool. I'll say two and a quarter.
Can we do better than that anywhere?
Not right now. I've been looking at that sort of thing. I've been looking for the bridge loan. I've reached out to Cash Valley Bank. I have had Zions get in touch with me. And then I have Mont reach out to his contact with Wells Fargo with that building. So I've reached out to those three banks to fund that $5.2 million during the construction phase.
What does Wasatch pay on the pool up there?
$30,000 a year.
$30,000 a year, and the high school pays nothing, no sample.
Correct.
Yep.
Well, that's something probably needs to be addressed. I know that Mayor told me that we leased, that they gave us the property, or we leased it, and that's clear now.
We have a, my understanding is a 50-year lease with a reversion clause.
It's in the city, the property is in the city's name.
It is now?
So are they using that as a reason not to pay anything, or?
Yeah.
Their swim team takes up a lot of time up there. I've got a chart that I put in front of each one of you that I got today. And it shows the participation.
That's the area, right?
Yeah. So, and the swim team takes up, now, she told me today she didn't know if Wasatch was, had a swim team this year.
Right, she hasn't been able to get a hold of them.
Yeah, there's nobody committed.
Right.
Yeah. She got hold of them, but nobody's committed as to whether they're going to or not. So that'll open up a little bit of time if that happens.
She does not want to open it up until she knows for sure.
Yeah.
Because then she'd have to change the schedule.
Then she'd have to.
If they don't have a swim team for 1 year, does that leave them with their obligation?
They're still been paying that anyways for $30,000.
Because their students still get to play.
But there's nothing in, really in writing that says that they're going to do that for...
I've not seen a firm contract on that commitment. I did see it for the Continental Event Center, but I've not seen a firm contract to that.
I can look to see.
Brittany's on a pretty good balancing act up there, trying to appease everybody.
Sure.
Trying to keep the citizens happy and the schools happy and swim teams happy, the public swim team happy.
I think she does an amazing job.
Yeah, it's a pretty good schedule she juggles and keeps that thing.
Well, and the city swim team that she has going on there now has 23 participants in it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Cool. It keeps growing, so.
And there's 20 from the high school swim team.
It's in high school.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And she said that will increase when these other sports are over, and they'll come in.
Yeah. So it's up there.
So who takes priority over that? Does the city swim team take priority on the time slots over high school?
I think the city
swim team's in the morning, isn't it?
The what?
Swim team is in the morning. Public swim.
No.
What day?
They're all in the afternoon between the hours of 3 and 7. The city swim team, I think, only does 2 nights a week, and then the
schools.
School district does all 5, don't they? And then Wasatch, I don't know what they're doing.
So I'm sure the school district must have paid this charging fee to be on the swim team to their students.
I would think so.
Does any of that fee get back to the city?
Nope.
So that's something maybe we need to approach the school with.
Yeah.
My son's on the swim team. So they charge $75 this year, which is less than they have in the past. It's only supposed to be covering the basic fee for the school, for, you know, whatever their liability waiver is, and uh-huh. for a swimsuit. But I don't know what type of margins they have built into that.
Uh-huh. It's a pretty big fee. Mm.
Then it's open till 9 o'clock at night. I'd be interested to see how many other pools are open till 9 o'clock at night. That seems late to me.
Yeah. Well, in the summer, they're open till 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why it's good to have these numbers that Brittany's got, so we got a
Yeah, if you look across there, it's 10 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night, there's not much participation.
No, there's not.
Warrant and paying for somebody to be there. I don't know, it's a balancing act.
So this is the number of swimmers?
Yeah.
You also have to take into consideration that she can only be open the hours that she has staff to staff the pool.
Yeah.
That's another problem.
Yeah.
Most of her lifeguards are in high school, so she can't, if she doesn't have a lifeguard there, she can't have the pool open.
Yep.
Which is pretty common, okay?
Which is, yeah, but that's also been a battle and people are upset because she's not open during some of the hours during the middle of the day, but she can't be, she doesn't have a lifeguard.
Yeah, she lifeguarded today for a while, so she's keeping it open. Yeah.
Well, it's asking too much to try to do that and run the front desk and manage everything.
She has plenty of people to do the front desk, she just doesn't have a lot of.
Oh, so she does have front desk, no?
Yep, I know it's been a lot nicer since we locked the back gates back there and everybody comes through the front. That took away a whole lot of problems. So, yeah, it's ongoing, all we can do is keep pecking at it, going.
Anybody got questions on the budget report?
I'm just going to throw this out there. So the way this is trending, does it look like there's a possibility that we could be bring on another officer to patrol during the night next year?
I would definitely want to see what's coming. I think we're going to know here in a few months where COVID is headed. But as far as like committing right now, I'd be very hesitant to want to commit to another salary structure.
Yeah. But some things are going, I mean, in the right direction, the sales tax.
Right. You take COVID out of the equation, I would say next budget year, I'd get with you and I have some ideas to possibly fund that.
Cool.
So we'll just see, we'll just hope the market doesn't take a bottom.
Yeah, there's a big election coming up.
Yeah, there's lots of variables coming in the next month and a half.
Yeah.
Any other questions on the budget things? Okay, moving on, next item. Discussion, take action on the culinary water. Let's see.
Do we have requisitions for it?
Yeah, put Shane's on there again.
So we're going to do it with the PIE department as requisitions, because we got them built into the.
You probably said that, might be.
Yeah, that's fine.
Sunrise, mate.
Yes, so we've had bids given in from Sunrise Engineering, from JUB. Sunrise was the cheapest on doing our culinary water impact fee analysis proposal.
Did you get a hold of the third one, Colter? Did you get a hold of the third one to get a bid?
Yeah, got to it, yeah.
The only one question I had on the proposal that I asked Robert about was the public hearings. Do you want to come up and explain it to everybody?
Sure.
Since you're here, we'll put you to use.
Yeah. Mayor just had, we kind of broke our fee into the impact fee analysis and then the public hearing side of it. So impact fee analysis, which is the first number, and I don't remember off the top of my head exactly what they were.
$8,500
for the impact fee.
And then $1,100 for the public hearing.
Public hearing. So the first number is to actually prepare the plan. The last two numbers would be basically two items, which is to prepare and come and give a presentation to the council and explain what the impact fees and the recommended are. Receive feedback from that, and then the second one would be to come and assist the council in holding the public hearing. For prior to implementing impact fees, you're required to have a public hearing on the public to give any input that they like on doing an impact fee prior to implementing the impact fee. And then after that, I believe it's either 90 or 60 or 90 days that you have before you can actually start to charge the impact fees. So anyway, that's the fee. It builds upon the information that's been happening over the last couple of years with the PDR and the treatment project. And so that's probably why it's a little bit cheaper. And very nice if there's some background information that can roll into it and be utilized. So.
And our impact fees, if implemented, can pay this fee?
Yes, that's an impact fee eligible expense to pay for that. So, although you don't probably have any impact fees on that, but I'm going to do it. So.
Well, I wonder. Implemented, then we can backdate it, right? That's part of it.
Yeah, impact fee studies are impact fee eligible, they're eligible expenses. There's certain things that you can't use impact fee money on. You can't use it for operation and maintenance. It's strictly on infrastructure that you invest in for growth. That's basically what you can use to pay it for. So a lot of that would be probably more thoroughly and better explained. First update meeting, I was explaining what the impact fees really almost are and how they are calculated.
So this would only cover culinary impact fee, correct?
That's culinary, yes. That's correct.
It would cover any kind of a sewer or a...
No, that's strictly culinary.
So. Would they, as far as the sewer, would it be easy to lump some of them all together? With the culinary, or are they going to be two?
It's completely separate. And it's going to be based, like I say, the culinary one's fairly easy because you're right on the heels of going and doing a project, which is part of the project is for growth. And so it's easy to link those two together. The sewer, if you don't have outstanding debt and you're not planning to do something in the near future with your sewer, then you really don't have anything to link that impact fee to. And so prior to doing a sewer impact fee, and I don't know, maybe you do have some debt on an expansion or something that you did. If you did, then those two could be linked. But water and sewer, as far as the impact fees, are not.
I don't know how many debt on our sewer, do we?
No, we have no debt currently on
the sewer. No, but there's stuff that could be used to implement improvements, such as headway down there, the sewer drains, stuff
will,
like that.
Will it, the impact fee will not cover that, will it?
If it's built for growth, yes. If it's built for, just for maintenance, then no. So the way the impact fee rule is that you're not allowed to charge an impact fee to raise the level of service for the existing system. And so if it's a trash rack or something like that, well, if it's built for 20 years growth, then a portion of it could be. The portion that's used to bring the current level of service up to that level, that's not eligible. And so you end up having to take a fraction of that amount, depending on how much is for current and how much is for growth. And then the growth part could be attached to the impact. So, but prior to doing a sewer impact fee analysis, there would probably have to be first some sort of a capital facility analysis to identify what are the necessary improvements needed for growth over the next 20 years, identify what they are, what's the cost of them, and then at that point, it could roll into the same phase.
I'm just thinking about our system, our collection system, probably, I would guess that it's probably adequate for another 20 years of growth. I don't know that, but I'm assuming that it probably is.
I don't know.
And our lagoons are probably adequate for that as well, from the appearance of things. But
we'll know a little bit more when we get our sludge judge test back on how the steroids that we've been feeding our bugs have been working to get rid of our solids.
So that's it. I would say wouldn't be a 20-year person's clock to anything.
Maybe that's the case.
Well, dollars.
Can you, if those are identified, I guess those improvements could be upgraded with impact fees, but.
But I wouldn't, if you want to move on the water impact fees, I wouldn't wait.
No, I was just curious.
Yeah, you know, you're really starting at square one with the sewer, you need to kind of identify what are your needs first before you start.
And where we charge all extensions over to property owners, it's pretty hard to justify a lot of the sewer extensions because we're making the landowner or whoever extends the sewer line foot that bill.
So the impact fee rules, fairly clear, there's two separate items. There's the impact fee and the connection fee. And the connection fee is only allowed to be what the cost is. And so if the homeowner is picking that tab up themselves, then there's not much for a connection fee. Maybe a little bit administratively to enter their home into the system, do an inspection by the public works. Pretty minimal if the homeowner is actually installing the pipe themselves. That's the connection fee. The impact fee is separate, which is there something that the city has gone and built for growth to help pay for that?
Like I say, each scenario in that case always is a little bit different because sometimes when they're doing those one mainline extension, we would pay for part of that pipe or part of that materials due to the fact that not one home's connected on it, now you're getting five homes connected on it.
So that part of the scenario
is kind of a little bit different in that sense, but you know, there's been different times where we would help out a little bit in that sense just because it's not just benefiting one owner, it's benefiting the city from five homes now. So,
okay.
It's just a thought to maybe look into.
Okay. Any other questions?
Nope. So, any other thoughts on this? Not somebody want to make the proposal that we go with it?
I'll make a proposal. We move forward with the culinary water impact fee analysis by Sunrise Engineering.
I'll second it.
Okay, I have a motion by Rondi and seconded by Russ to accept the Sunrise Engineering proposal to do the culinary water impact fee analysis proposal for the a dollar amount of $9,600. Roll call.
Justin.
I think I will stay on this one.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes.
Sandwich.
Yes. So, Robert, how about how long do they take to do your study, you know? Just kind of rough
cast. It'll take 2 or 3 months to get it wrapped up and do the public hearing. The public hearing process usually takes a month to 6 weeks. And like I said, then there's I can't remember if it's 60 or 90. You can see it on a little round, or if it's this way or this way, but before you're able to do that. So, it's quite a ways down the road before you're actually going to start collecting the funds.
Okay.
About building season next year.
Spring.
Yeah, spring, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully for spring. Okay, next item is our city culinary water system upgrade. Any other thoughts and questions on that since we've had the work meeting a week ago? 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago.
I was glad about that. That gives a chance to ask a lot of questions. So thank you for doing that, Robert. Thanks the council for spending an extra day to go through that. It helped me.
Yeah, it was beneficial. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Answered a lot of questions I had.
I still haven't went to the ride yet, Robert.
I still want to see these well witcher do their thing. So I can't remember, did we decide where the first test run was going to, were we going to try to do that, or was we going to?
Robert was going to look at what they had as their recommendation of gallons per minute on each wellhead, and to decide if they were close, we were going to favor the closest one to the acid house. So that we could be closer to the pipeline and everything else.
Save us money.
Yeah.
I didn't look at it.
Not until we get it signed, huh?
No, I just honestly.
So yes.
We have a contract that we need to sign or something, or?
This big one, so we need to make a motion to accept that culinary water system upgrade.
And that was for the same amount that it was the other night?
Yeah, the 5.2 million with a $980,000 grant.
Right.
Didn't we already do the motion on that, or we just did a motion to proceed?
We just worked on it, so we have to approve it tonight in the city council meetings. That's what had to be on our.
Was it two we approved the, to move forward with it, right?
That was the funding.
That was to move fund with the funding. Now we have to go ahead and.
Approve the project.
Yeah, approve the project to go with it.
That way we can get going on it.
Yeah, that way I'll sign the.
I'll make the motion.
150-page contract.
I'll make a motion to approve that.
I'll second it.
Okay, I have the motion by Sam and seconded by Kevin to move ahead with the city culinary water system upgrade. The $5.2 million project to drill a well and put a water treatment building in and center. Roll call.
Okay, change right.
That's fine.
You said to drill a well and what it was called?
The water treatment plant.
Justin.
Austin.
Kevin?
Yes.
Russell?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes.
And Sam?
Yes.
Okay, next item is transformer from the fire department.
Took all the CARES money.
And then some. Do you want me to hear you sign them right now?
No, the transformer or is that?
Transformer.
Do you want me to run them to Ethan? They tell me I can sign them, I'll sign them.
All right. Just one copy.
Okay. Okay, that's all we got.
I wish that contract.
I didn't have time, I'm sorry.
I wish you would have brought some.
All worded up for it.
It's easier.
I was going to pop.
That one's easier to read.
Sounds good.
I didn't get to it.
This is something that's going to help the city long after I'm gone. Long after we're all gone.
Yeah.
So the plan is to get the bids ready to go early spring?
No.
Sooner.
Get the test well done sooner. Just go.
I'm going to change this up.
Then start on that right now, on the equipment RFP. So the city has approved it, rural development's got to approve it also. After rural development approves, then we're going to get the roll.
That is exciting.
Okay.
The sign.
Thank you.
It is. Long time coming, it's like.
Yeah, it's a big night.
That's a lot of money spent.
And it's going to solve a lot of problems.
We hope.
Yeah.
We hope.
Well, it gives us an opportunity to solve many.
Yep. We'll at least get 300 gallons a minute. For sure.
We want to get that cemetery water.
Hopefully.
Until we get the irrigation system.
It's not falling out of the sky, so we probably need to get out of the ground.
Well, I think with this plus the irrigation system and improvements we're doing, I think holistically it's going to open up some better options for us.
Oh, God, Lord, it's going to be.
I still think we need to look at that well off the cemetery, redrilling it and just going 30 feet deep and. putting all that out there on that well and being separate.
It's, it'll probably well worth the money to do that.
Separate of all our culinary expense.
Yeah. Just have that do the cemetery and the potters.
Yep.
It probably wouldn't cost that much, but it's not a culinary well. Just drill it down. I don't know however many feet.
They hit it like at 30, 40 feet real good, so.
Yeah.
That's where they said that area was.
Yeah, and then when they cased it in, they lost it all, so.
I second that.
It would solve a lot of problems. Because then we're not pulling off our culinary water, because we got risky. I don't think people realize a couple of times how close we come on water tanks being out of water this summer.
And we can turn off the irrigation supply lines, but you can't do that with culinary. And folks don't want to follow the watering schedules. There's not a lot you can do.
Yep. Yep.
Well, your tanks are empty, you don't play fire either.
No. That's true, too.
House fire catchments are useful.
Especially our tanks as well as the rest. Are you ready for lights?
Yeah.
Okay. If you need to move out there so you can see it better, you're welcome to move.
I'm trying to find my laser so I can explain stuff to you. There it is. Okay, we're good.
You ready?
Okay, so what? I told you guys I was going to put together a packet, but the thing is I'm a visual learner, and I think I like pictures a lot more, and so, and details, and it's going to be a pretty big packet, so I condensed it down to just doing a quick presentation for you. What this is pertaining to is the substation upgrade with the transformer that was due to COVID. And so we're looking at that. As you can see, it's kind of hard to see. I don't know if I can focus that.
It's a little better now.
A little bit. But anyways, these numbers right here, our load, like up Skyline area and on this transformer, tripled this year. And so, due to like the load, people come down their second homes in up in Skyline and all that, and so we've seen a huge amount of growth all at once in 1 year. We just don't see that, and so that kind of pertained to the transformer failing because we couldn't switch our load around. The transformer at the time was almost overloaded, and so. And needless to say, the transformer is also a 1972 transformer, so it's pretty old. But usually it lasts for a little bit longer, but with your, when you're running it that hot all at once, it's definitely some wear and tear on the transformer. All of our tests, I talked to SD Myers, all of our tests and everything, oil tests and everything was good. They did not see this coming at all. I mean, it was just a failure that just happened. Okay, so we're going to change during this process. We're going to change the whole layout of this bay down in this substation. And the reason why is because the new transformer is not going to have an LTC or what we call a load tap changer. That load tap changer, when load is onto the system, it has to step up to meet the needs to keep that voltage good for our customers. But on an LTC, the problem is when one phase steps up, they all step up. And so you're constantly fighting with an LTC. LTCs are great if you have a good three-phase industrial load. I can see, I mean, they're great if you're doing that. But when you're doing a lot of residential mixed with some commercial, mixed with pumps and stuff like that, it's hard to keep your system so well balanced that when you're tapping that up and down, it's constantly fighting against itself. Okay, so this is good. The LTC is going to give us
We're going to replace the LTC with what's called regulators, which is in our other bay, and what we have up to the convoy. And they're all going to be Cooper regulators, so we're going to keep everything universal and keep it simple. And it's going to give us bypass capability. So the problem with an LTC, if an LTC goes bad, the transformer's bad. You can't run the transformer. If a regulator goes bad, you can bypass that regulator and run with no problems, and then just change that regulator out. We have a spare regulator in our yard right now that we share between Ephraim and us, that we can, if we have issues, you know, we can swap it in and out. And they're cheaper to fix. Regulators are a lot cheaper to fix than a LTC, and we found that out. Like I said, one regulator is designated to each phase, and so that regulator, all it does is watch the load on that phase. And as the load goes up and down, it just adjusts that load. So it keeps it really... So if you are a little bit out of balance on your phases, which we are, because we have a skyline, it's a lot of single phase, have a lot of radial feeds, you guys seen our map. And so, you have that issue. So what we have now in our existing substation, we have our transmission lines coming down here. They're 46,000 volts. They're coming to a structure here with fuses and a switch. Here's our transformer, and this, our substation transformer. And here's the one that went bad. And the switch for it was right here above it. And here's your three regulators right here. And then right in these area is your feeds coming out. Kind of a menagerie. But it's actually really late. To us, it's laid out real well to do this. So what we're looking at doing, excuse my heart. So it's just going to be, we're going to match this bay. So this bay is going to be identical. That one bay where we have the one transformer like that. So we're going to get rid of this transformer, put regulators right there. We have a containment system built around there, so if we do have a regulator failure, that containment will hold the regulator. And the same here. But what we're going to do is here, put another cement pad out here and two structures with steel and fuses out here, identical to this. And the reason why we're going this route is the things that I mentioned to you before, because it is so much beneficial more to our system going this regulator route, because if you do have an issue, you can bypass it and you're good to go. The transformer pad, we have a containment to build around this transformer. It has mineral oil. This pad will not have to have a containment, because we're going to be putting in what's called FR3 oil into this transformer. And what that is it environmental friendly oil. So if you do have an issue, you just got to clean it up. It ain't going to hurt the environment at all. And so if we go to the next one, it's just going to be identical. You see the two transformers, we have a transformer here, regulators going out. Right here splits, or we have a switch right here that splits this bay from this bay. So this bay goes out, this transformer feeds like the Westfield and the inner loop. This transformer feeds going out to the hospital right now, and up Skyline, and around on the north, clear up to our hydros. So there's a lot of load. There's a lot of load on this transformer that failed right here. So it's going to be pretty simple. So you got your 46 coming in. You got your switch here, that a gang operated switch. So when you got to kill this transformer, you just open that up. You got your fuses here that protect your transformer. Two of these blew that night. That transformer went bad, and it sounded like somebody was shooting shotguns. We're going to have a hard busting that comes up right here. And this hard busting is just pipe that comes up. Instead of having wires come up,
this is more economical, plus it's more wildlife friendly. And then here's your regulators. Your bypass switch is right here. You got to take a regulator out of service, and then it goes over here and feeds out to your reclosure and goes out in the grid. Feed your customers. The cost, we're going to go with a Cooper, probably either Cooper or a Virginia right now. But the cost I'm going to give you is not going to be over this. I kind of estimated a little high just to kind of cover our cost for that. Because I don't have the one bid back, but I know it's not going to be as much. This is the decision that it's taken us a while to kind of make, because you're making a decision that's going to, you know, you want it for your system for another 20, 30 years. And it's a big decision on your transformer. What type of transformer? What's a good transformer? And all that. And so the new transformer is going to be a 10 MVA. The one that's in there that went bad was a 3.7 MVA. So we're going to be doubling our load capacity in that transformer. And that's for an extra $30,000. I was like, why not take that $30,000 and double it up to from a 5 to a 10? Like I said, FR3 fluid is going to be in there, so we don't have to do containment. Copper primary windings inside the transformer. Some of them have aluminum windings. We wanted to make sure that if we were going to buy this transformer, it's going to last. We want to have the best copper windings in both the primary side, the 46 side, and in the 7200 side. We want to be able to match the impedance. And what that is the percentage of that impedes the transformer on the load. And so for instance, the one out the Contoy is 7.3%, and you have to be plus or minus 2% if you want to parallel those two transformers together and then throw all the load over on one and isolate the other just for outage purposes, switching purposes. So we wanted to be able to match the impedance with the Contoy substation, because that transformer is going to be the one that's going to be tying to that substation along the south loop that feeds out to the hospital. And so we could do this at 7.5%. They said they could do that transformer 7.5, which is real good for a 10 MVA. Oh, this is just details. Let me just kind of go over this. It's not very big. But we got a 10 VA, the copper line. This is pretty much everything this is the specs on our transformer. The total cost we're looking around is like for the transformer itself is like around $234,000. Here's some more specs on the transformer. I went through each and every single one of these to make sure that it was going to work well with our system. When you're making this kind of decision on a transformer, a lot of companies will get an engineer involved. But I think we've been pretty well involved with our system. I think we can pretty much say this is going to be good for our system. So I'm hoping to just take the plans that I have when we did the upgrade back in 2002, when we was upgrading the system from 4160 to 7200, and just make the base the same without engineering fees and all that stuff getting involved in it. Then it starts getting really costly. Hey. Any questions? Does it, Justin?
It's one of those necessary evils, I guess.
Yeah, so, but this is something simple that I think us as a crew can handle.
Yeah.
Like, the other requisition that I got coming to you tonight, that's something that we definitely have to have an engineer to be on site and to kind of go through, because that's something we just don't understand when it comes to that. So here's our regulators. They're going to be around the
They're $16,000, $50,000 for all three of them. The bad thing is about these regulators, they're 53 weeks out. That's how behind everything's kind of getting. So I'm going to jump on board. If we see some refurbished ones, which are pretty much brand new, and somebody's getting rid of Cooper ones, we're going to jump on those. I know they're going to be cheaper than $50,000. I know that. These are brand new, so.
So you need to have all of them to talk about, or how?
Yes. Yeah, you got three phases coming out of that transformer, and one regulator for each phase.
Okay.
So this is what our cost is looking at. $314,000. $315,000. The switches, the steel work, we're going to do all this. The steel work and the cement work. I got one of our vendors coming next week to talk about the switches, so we can kind of match our switches to what we have out to the Contoy. The thing I'm real big on is having the same type of material, so to say, like we did on our metering. We have the same meters, Lansing Gear meters. That way, you're not spread out having Lansing Gear, ABB meters, Elster meters, and all this. That's what we had before, but now we're stuck with Lansing Gear meters. It keeps it simple for us. You know, because we don't have a meter tech. The same as we don't have a sub-tech that does that. So let's keep with the Cooper controls, because we have good quality service with Cooper. And so we're going to try to stick with that if we can, if we can afford it. So that's the full $300,000 for the COVID thing. You guys have any questions on kind of what we're looking at? I think now's the time to go this route, because if you add an LTC, all the quotes that I got with an LTC, the transformer price almost doubles.
Yeah.
And so if you just go with the regulator, the transformer is a heck of a lot cheaper. And what I'm hoping to do is we'll get that transformer tested. If the LTC is still good, then we will take that LTC and we will sell it. If the transformer is not too bad, maybe we can get it fixed and sell it. If not, then they will give us some money for scrap too. So it's just different options we're looking at that we can put towards this expense. We can either with the $300,000 and then with that other the other $14,000, $15,000, we can afford that pretty easy in our budget right now under professional services. So, or we can do it in that.
How long is this project going to take you, Sean?
Well, like I said, it kind of depends on the transformer you're looking at. Itself, you're looking at close to 4 months for them to build it and ship it to us. Regulators, I don't know why regulators are taking 53 weeks.
53 weeks. So really, this project, you're budgeting, but you're not going to be able to even work on some of it for even a year.
It's good. Well, we're going to try to get the cement work, the steel work, and all that done.
We're ready for it.
So when we have the paint come, we want to be able to just lift that one out of Fairview's. And I talked to Fairview about this, and I think we're going to work something out with them. I'm not quite sure.
Because we're using their transformer.
Yeah, we're using their transformer. They were going to do a second thing, feeder coming out of their substation this year, but it didn't happen due to COVID costs and stuff, and so they didn't want to try that. So it worked out good with us, the transformer, for right now. But they said they're good with this. If we can get the regulators sooner, you know, then I'm hoping we can get it in sooner. So it's probably not going to be until after spring by the time we start doing this.
We want to have everything ready.
Was their transformer brand new?
No, it was refurbished.
And it's low tap.
And it has an LTC on it, yeah.
So, and you mentioned you might be able to find some refurbished regulators.
Yeah, because I know the regulators we have down there now, in that other bay, we got those from Lehigh, because Lehigh was growing like crazy. So they had these almost brand new regulators, and we got them from them for a good deal.
Yeah.
So I'd be for that.
Yeah. And it'd be cheaper than overall.
Because if your load grows, you got to increase the size of your regulators too. So we're actually bumping up the size on our regulators than what we have with this new, the 10 MVA. And so we should be good for the next, 20 years on that. And I was talking to Robert about it, about if you have expenses, some of, if we do kind of go exceed the $315,000, some of that can come out of the impact fees that we acquire.
That's what I was saying.
Because it is for growth.
You're building more capacity into
yes,
it.
Yes, yeah. And so we're hoping to get those impact fees done that ICP is working on and bring that towards the council as soon as we can.
So $300,000 with that, Shane, is that CARES Act money?
Yeah, from the COVID.
COVID CARES Act.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's.
Yeah.
Did that, how much was in that?
$306,000 or so, right about there.
So, I guess that being said, this is kind of off topic, but the natural gas thing to be out there, we're just going to be paying for that through the other.
With land sales.
So that's what you decided to do.
That's it.
Land sales.
Okay.
Put the light on.
You ready for the light on, or you got more slides, Shane?
No, okay. That's all right.
Cool. That's bright.
Wake up.
So hopefully that makes a little more sense to you how what we're looking at trying to do. Like I said, I'm hoping we can take the plans when we upgrade that other bay from 2002 and just use the same metal structures and all that and kind of go that route so we don't have to go through the whole engineering process.
Dave, how much did you say we got in the CARES Act?
$306,000.
See, that's something we're getting, something that's going to last us 20 years through the federal money. So, that's pretty good.
The thing is, like I said, I don't know why, but like from a 5 MVA, what we was looking at putting in there. So we was going to go from a 3.7 to 5, and then only $30,000 more, you can go to a 10. So we was like, what is going on? Let's do it. I mean, that would double your capacity right in there, and that's the side that I'm going to see in the future that ICP talking with them on our impact fees. That's the one that's going to be growing, going out towards Skyline, in between us and Fairview, filling in all that area right in that there. If we have subdivisions come up over up Warren East again. Over by Ron's place and that. They filled all that in. That's all going to be feeding off that. So I sat down with ICP and we kind of discussed this. And that's kind of what we was coming to conclusion. We do have a lot of growth out on the south end, obviously, because we've got the contouring, the industrial park. With that transformer out there, that 5 MVA should be able to handle that for some time.
It's nice that we're thinking about, I had a rescue man down the road. I think that it's good to plan for that because a lot of communities get caught with their unprepared for that because they don't.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, we were discussing this. We knew we had to upgrade those transformers, those 3.7s, get those out of there.
but we was kind of hoping we could hold on till we got the impact fees in place, and then actually had some money, and then, you know, upgrade it that way. But then we had this failure. So it was on the agenda and all that for our 10-year plan, 5-10-year plan, but it just never.
Couple of questions before I make a motion on your transformer. I know you showed 314, but this shows 334 on the requisition.
I'll turn this up.
The other question was, it shows it all coming out of COVID relief for 334.
Well, the thing is, I gotta, a lot of it is, but I gotta get with Jeannie and break it out, because part of it's gonna go to Eaton, part of it's gonna go to Annixter, part of it's gonna go to, who we do the steel with.
I mean, is it, the subs, as far as the transformer, that, does the other stuff come out of different GL versus COVID? I mean, the requisition just says everything's coming out of COVID, is my question.
So basically what he's saying is there's more on your requisition.
Yes, there is, yeah.
Than the COVID fund has.
Yeah, I should have put professional services on there.
So we need to pull part of that out of.
Part of that out of professional services, yeah.
You just put that GL on there, but.
Yeah.
And then the.
So that's the 153.
And then.
$4,153.
The other quick question I had is, you know, maybe go back, Dave, is Mont said that they already, so I know we kind of set aside, was it $300,000 for the transformer from what all we've talked about already, right? And then they were saying that, well, Mont said in the CDRA that we had, the other $10,000 was spent on sanitation.
A little less than that, but yeah, we have some expenses in the general fund.
So, in the COVID relief or the general
COVID,
fund?
Out of the COVID, yeah.
So there was more than the 300 and
311,000 on the COVID.
Originally?
Yeah.
So it'll still give Shane like 300,000 to draw off of.
Right. And the number you have here, 334.
Yeah, that must
it's
have
actually 314.
Yeah.
Is it 314 or 334?
It's 314. 314.9. So it's the price that I set over here.
314.838?
Yeah, that's what it is. I was in a hurry.
So yeah, it's 14,000.
20,000 difference.
Yeah, so like 15,000 we have to pull out of our
professional services.
Out of our 153 line.
You guys not trying to collect an impact fees on the pallets?
No, they got rid of them.
All of them up that high.
We're in the process of. Yeah, that's a sort of.
We lost. Topic. Probably lost a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Right before the big growth. So.
What's that?
Looks like 100 new connections in here since last July.
Really? 100 new connections. Look at all that impact money. We could have paid off our bond.
Learn, I guess.
Yep. Nothing you can do now. Just move on and make it right. So.
So we need a motion on this?
Yeah.
Yes.
So is it about 334 or the 314?
314, sorry.
314,000.
Do we need to make them?
838. 838, yeah.
We need to make a motion to reflect that certain amount that comes out of the COVID versus.
Yeah, 300,000 out of the COVID relief and then 15,000 out of professional services. The 14,898.
The 14,000.
Yeah.
If that makes sense, I guess.
I can make a motion for requisition 100202048. Requisition for Mount Pleasant City Power. For $314,838. $300,000 of that will come from COVID relief for the transformers and regulators and switches and so forth. So
I'll second.
Okay, have the motion by Kevin and seconded by Justin to accept requisition 10092020248, Mount Pleasant City Power, in the dollar amount of $314,838, $300,000 coming out of COVID relief fund, and the other $1483 coming out of, what did you call that, corporate, or that?
Professional services.
Professional services.
And if you want to write the number on there, it's 53,4,153.
Okay, roll call.
Justin.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Russell.
Yes.
Ron.
Yes.
And Sam.
Yes.
Okay, next requisition. Moving on to the next discussion, actually, the fire department, this other requisition. Requisition 10132020617. Fire department again for commissioning the substation. The dollar amount of $16,945.
This is your engineering people, right? What you're saying?
Yeah, this is the, so this has been long waiting. They finally commissioned that switch yard down there along with the Concord substation. And so.
So this is on site for them?
This is on site for them, yes.
So this does both the switch yard and the substation?
So we're going to do it, we're going to try to do it all at once. And so that way we don't have to pay two traveling. All that other expenses.
Yeah, it ain't up a lot.
This will be a while down the road, though, right?
Hopefully within the next month. It depends on the Egan's time frame. But they said as soon as I get the PO, they would put it at.
So this is separate from the other?
Yes, it's a totally separate. Yeah. Yeah, so this
we're is out there.
Yeah, out to the convoy.
All right.
Because we want to, before we start working on this project in the old substation, we want to have the power going on to the convoy so we can back feed from the convoy so we can take this transformer out of service.
I got you.
Ferries out of service. So there's no issues.
Will you have to kill both of those transformers in that switchyard again to bring in the crane? And
no, we'll just kill the one side.
The crane's going to be tight.
It's going to be tight, but I think what we're planning on doing is we'll have the hydros up and going. If we need to, we could throw all the load that we have
to that substation.
That substation out there and should not have any issues.
So feed it back around.
Yeah. And then if we need to totally kill this substation down, we can do it. So, because the loads, it's our high loads are in summer, obviously, and the peak of the winter, but
yeah. Yep.
So,
yep.
I'll make a motion to accept requisition number 10132020617 for the commission substation, $16,945.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, the motion by Sam and seconded by Rondi to accept the requisition number 10132020617 for commissioning the substation in the dollar amount of $16,945. Roll call.
Justin.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Russell.
Yeah.
Rondi.
Yes.
And Sam.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is what I was telling you, I had to have it. Engineers involved in this and programming these high side breakers and correlating our time curves and all that with Rocky Mountain Power. And we're also moving our metering from this substation down to that one. So we only have one local. Because before we didn't want to have two separate metering points. That would cost us a fortune with Rocky Mountain Power. So we bought that section of line from them. We're going to upgrade that. And move our metering down there, so we have that one point, and then it's going to split off to put each substation, and then feed out those.
Be a lot better.
Yeah, thanks, you guys.
Thank you. Next item, Public Works Department, do you have anything, Coulter?
The best week ever with irrigation off. We all made it alive, that's good.
It's not off yet, you still got till Friday morning.
I got till Friday. We've just been prepping for winter, we bought our sand, our cinders today, salt and cinders. They should be here hopefully next couple weeks. We've got a lot of irrigation to do on all city properties, and we're fixing the roof after the rodeo grounds, which some of the shingles got tipped off by that windstorm. We're just busy, busy.
Okay. Next item is council reports, Justin.
So next meeting, I hope to have a draft version of the excavation permit. We can get that approved, any changes that we can implement it. So it meshes with the ordinance. I did talk to Susan Sercarizzi at Utah, at the state parks, about the Land Water Conservation Fund for the veterans. She said, I think she said February is when that opportunity will come out, where we can apply. She did say that because that park out there was originally funded through that program, it will get a score higher because of, it's located on that park, on that site. And she said that there has been talk of them going from a 50-50 to more of like an 80-20 split on the grant, so we'll see what happens there.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
So are we going to have plans and stuff?
I think we just need to have some conceptual ideas and then some costs so we can apply for the grant is all. I don't know that we have to have a lot of detail right now of what it's going to look like, but we do have to have kind of a cost nailed down so we know how much to apply for. So.
Mountain Land's working on the sprinkler system for us right now.
Okay. So if there's any other improvements that we want to do out there aside from the restroom, if we want to do a pavilion, we got some, we want to do tables, any other equipment, we can include that in the grant as well. So maybe just think about that. That's really all I have right now.
Okay. Kevin?
I don't have anything.
Russell?
I got most of mine with the pool with Brittany today that I spoke thoroughly, discussed that. Stephanie, she's closing down the Lavender's softball tournament championships. Little League football's done. She's moving on into the winter stuff here now, but everything's good there. Never had any problems, any more problems with COVID. Never had any problems that way, so. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. That's all I got.
Randy?
I've just kind of been watching that new road on 4th East. It's getting some heavy use, and it seems to be holding up really nice. I don't see it breaking up, or especially at that turn into the subdivision. Some people think that's, a racetrack, and it's not pilling up or rutting out.
Your water hole's gone too.
Yeah, so it, we haven't seen the freezing temps and winter and that yet, but it seems to be holding up real well, just from my point of view so far. So that's good, excited about that. And this new culinary water project, I'm excited we're moving forward with that. I think we got a great plan in place for that project with the impact fees coming up. And then you had 20 sewer out?
Yeah.
Did they find anything bad?
Some heavy gravel on the north side of town on 5th West that we're going to have to get taken out. And other than that, it's looking pretty good.
Cool. And then we're still on scheduled for the acoustic.
They're working on it right now.
They're up there making noises in the pipes and seeing what's in there.
So we got just a few manholes we've actually got to go find that have been buried. And other than that, they're not done with the acoustics.
Wow.
Did you ever find out, or a question I was wondering about, dead end manholes with no lid?
He hasn't got back to me on that one yet.
That's all I had, Mayor.
One thing to mention too, when you mentioned the roads, they did move all the leftover product from the airport up to the cemetery shop.
So it's indoors now.
So it's indoor and it's protected. So we've got, I think they figured it was about 3.5 blocks of material.
Oh, really?
So.
At 31 bags left over there.
Yeah. And I think Bruce figured it at 3.5 blocks that it could do. So
if we decide to have them come back, we kind of got a head start.
My hope is we can use it in Aspen Village and get a road up there. That's really my hope.
Yeah.
So that would be all right.
That would probably about do it, wouldn't it?
I think it would be real close to doing it.
Yeah, great idea.
Because the roads up there are narrower too, and right. So hopefully.
That might be a perfect spot for it.
If we could get some drainage issues addressed up there, we might could use up there.
It doesn't have any kind of shelf life, does it?
No. As long as it stays dry.
As long as it's dry.
So we should be all right.
Is it just the powder, concrete, or has it got a chemical in with it?
It's got, I don't know what's all in it, but we know there's cement, and I don't know what else.
Some secret proprietary.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, top secret.
Yeah.
So Sam.
Couple things. Everybody got the email. I just thought I'd bring it up so that it's public knowledge on the swimming pool. I do think it's a valid concern, that would be worth looking into and making sure we do give the public an opportunity to use it. Because my thoughts is what she went along is kids get out of school by the time at 3 o'clock, and if they can't, a lot of kids might be able to go swim that time versus later at night. She made a valid point.
She did.
That was just my thoughts, so I just wanted to bring it up. See what everybody else's thoughts was on it. But, I know it is a tough balance up there, but.
And the children do have to be 12 years old to swim without an adult, so if their parents work until 5,
yeah.
They couldn't go at 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So just
as a thought process. Even in the kiddie pool?
If you're 12 or under, you have to have an adult with you. If you're 12 or older, you can go on your own. But Brittany, I forwarded her the email as well, and she offered if you'd like her to come to the next city council meeting, I can put her on the agenda so it can be discussed more with some of her input as well. But that's up to you.
Yeah, she's really willing to work and try to, appease everybody.
She does try. Yeah.
It's a tough one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not dissing the money. Yeah. Just thought I'd bring that up as a let everybody know it is something we do, take concern on board, I think.
Sure.
Second, kind of go back to COVID relief stuff. Last night at district meeting, a huge option for the city, huge benefit for the city. The county has pushed through and was able to use $500,000, a little over $500,000 of their COVID relief that they're willing to put towards each fire department in the county and pay for 8 SCBA packs fully equipped with extra bottles and 8 masks for them. That is a grant that I put in for a while back. That would closely do, they would buy us 8 packs, each individual department throughout the county would get 8 packs. For us, that's about an $85,000 benefit. The only thing they're asking is that we give them an answer if we're on board by the end of the week, and they would like the cities to put in 10%, which would be roughly a little less than $7,000. So.
So. We put in for a grant for some of those already.
Mm-hmm.
Did we not get it? Or?
Yeah, it's still up in the air yet. So so we don't know.
And so how many do you need total?
18 total.
And this will pay for eight?
This will take care of eight of those 18, which is almost half of our demand. It, no cost to us, other than the 10%, which they got everything approved through the state, six counties, and they suggested if any cities had some of that COVID money, they could use that as well towards it. It would be available to use to the matching 10%.
We might have been in a better off scenario than on that, but all the supplies, I don't know.
So, just a thought, because I know we can't make a necessarily an action on the money.
Yeah. I can use the budget for those. $500.
Yeah.
So, I'd suggest we do it.
What we really ought to do is see what we really spent on supplies. And maybe we
our hard numbers is about $2,600. Then there was just some other like recreation, some part-timer salaries and stuff. I was going to do a transfer to that line.
I'd be in support of doing what we need to do, take advantage of that opportunity.
So it was just, they said we wouldn't have to do anything with like a check or anything until by the end of the month, because they're just trying to push it through and get it taken care of.
You need to let them know if we're on board, it sounds like.
Correct. So it's more of just right now that we're on board and want to participate, and we're willing to commit the 10%.
Yeah. And then the next state council, we could bring a requisition approved.
Correct.
And then we'd know exactly more on our holdup money too, so we could know.
So.
Well, that's cool. The county's doing that. I mean, basically, we're getting $85,000 worth of new equipment for $8,500.
Yeah, less than $8,500.
So. Yep.
That's kind of a no-brainer.
I think you move forward. Okay. Consensus.
Do we need any kind of a? I guess I don't. I guess don't we need a roll call? But
no, we can't do a vote on it because it's not on the agenda. So we can just give you
more consensus, I guess.
Yep.
More
positive response.
Yep.
If I may, does anybody know anything about the trains?
Haven't heard anything.
They're still working on them.
Yeah,
they're still working on them. I talked to the guy, I'm working with the guy out there. They're turning that little shed area into a, they put washers and dryers in there.
I know they still haven't corrected their fire window.
Have they got them all done inside?
They're really close.
So did that issue get reconciled with the window?
The
nope.
Ingress?
No.
Nothing yet.
So what else do
we well, they can't get out of there's no way. I'm not signing off on business or any kind of permit or anything for it, because I'm not being liable for it.
Are they aware of it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they're aware of it.
Okay. Sounds
like
this new act, they're just going to town like...
I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. The state fire marshal that was with Sam has retired, so we don't know. We just don't know.
No.
Oh boy, that's
all. Hey, a couple of things I had. Christmas lighting program. Are we going to even consider doing anything, or what do we want to do as far as that? It's just right on the corner.
Well, the state's put out a bunch of updated regulations. I just kind of caught that today.
Yeah, they changed it from red, yellow, or red, orange, right. Green to different tiers.
You can't have any, but you still can't have any large gatherings.
Right.
Not as long as we're in moderate or high, and right now we're in moderate, so.
I was kind of of the understanding that you could have more than 25. If face masks were required.
Now, public gatherings are allowed and they can be held on any level as long as masks are worn, is what I wrote down from what I was watching today from the governor. They also said that it was limited and moderate, but not with casual gatherings. They were determining casual gatherings are like families, get-togethers,
right.
Students meeting up with friends, football games, those kind of things.
So this is more of a public gathering?
And I think that the other would fall under public gathering. But I think we probably need to go on to the COVID-19.utah.gov and see what it is. But I do know Stampede is still at moderate, but it changes weekly. It could change weekly depending on the level of...
And it's based off of county, not six county anymore.
So we don't really even know where we could be.
Nope.
Because it will change weekly, and it goes off of the county health department and some county officials that will determine where, according to, there's a three categories that if you're within at least two of those categories, it determines whether you're high, moderate, or low, and it can change weekly.
What kind of turnout would the estimate we have for that?
We have a lot.
300.
Yeah. 300 is the number I
know. So we have to require the social distancing too of the 6 feet, which would be extremely difficult. I think during that, with your, it's freezing cold. Everybody likes to get around the barrels with the fire. I don't know.
But I bet you have closer to 1,500 people there.
You think?
So people want to get out.
I think you'd be looking at that many people.
Pray we was figured.
Is there a way to do something similar to, I know it'd be a little bit more work maybe set up, is there a way to do something similar like a zoo and then we're doing like set amount of people and do like an hour that they go through and they can get cookie, whatever. And,
like schedule those things?
Yeah. I mean, it would be kind of a pain, but have them like a ticket schedule that they'd have to go online or go somehow to get a scheduled ticket to keep so many people under that group. I mean, it would be a pain, but I mean, it's just a thought.
Well, it's kind of like the zoo or the aquarium or
all of them, most of the places, that's what they're doing. And so you're still able to do it, but you're in a slow time frame of allowing only so many people through. Just a thought, but. I said, I don't want to tell them how much work.
Well, and that's what, even like with Santa Claus and...
You know, I mean, Santa, that's a big thing, is Santa. I mean...
Yeah.
And I don't know how that would all work with all the different kids sitting on his lap. I mean, I don't really know how that would all play out, but... That's a whole other crazy mess, but...
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a big loss, in my opinion, to, for the kids to go and not be able to... Sit on Santa's lap.
No, there's no Christmas.
Shane said, we didn't say we wasn't hanging Christmas lights.
No, that's good. We're ready.
It's an option, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how quick we need to make a decision, but that's coming quick.
It is.
Yeah.
That's it. Next month, isn't it? In November?
Yeah.
End of November.
This Saturday right
now. Yeah, talk to Colleen and see what she thinks about it.
Because even like treats, and that's what I was thinking, like the normal treats that we hand out, I don't know how we can even do that with the restrictions. Right. You know, they'd have to be individually wrapped, even just the donuts or cookies, you know.
Yeah. It'll be after the election.
Not far enough after. So
wait until after the election.
So be thinking of that in the next 2 weeks, and we'll make a decision for sure next time we meet.
Well, as Jeannie says, I think we do research on the COVID restrictions.
Yeah, and see what you think if we could split it up somehow and divide it up. I don't know.
Or stretch it out over a longer area or something so you don't have so
tight of
density. I don't know.
Like I'm saying something.
Put the ball in the hole with Quail out there and let him out.
Yeah.
You think they can get the distance in the hole?
Yeah,
we get. Okay, families all together in the hole pan there. Now you can go.
Well, you know, the kids are back at school. And they're all together in school.
So, like I said, let's think about it for the next 2 weeks and come up with what we want to do and stuff. Me and Stephanie are meeting with Wasatch Academy on Thursday afternoon. Wasatch is hesitant about using the gym. I don't know what they're going to let us do because of the COVID kind of restrictions they're having on their campus. So that's part of the reason we're going to go meet with Wasatch on gym for the junior jazz and different things that way. And then the state of Utah sent us a safe sidewalk funding program. Wanted to get your input if you think it's something we'd like to try to do.
Is that the safe routes to school?
It's a little bit different. This has to be along a UDOT highway and on their right of way.
Oh, yeah, it's like a different approach.
I still think, we missed it a couple of years ago, but I still think they need a sidewalk out there going towards Terrell's.
That would be what I'd like to propose, is that we at least apply for this.
There is more and more people I'm seeing walking on the side of that road out there.
And start, we'd have, well, my thoughts is it would probably be on the other side of the road.
Be on the north side of the road.
Be on the north side of the road. We'd start there from Danny Simon's, where, or Danny, yeah, there on 6th South where the sidewalk ends. We'd have to extend it a block and a half there till we hit the hotels. Hotels got a sidewalk for a block. And then be able to extend it again from there out to 5th West is what I'd like to see, is see if we can do with the state road application. It is a 75-25 match.
75 grant?
75% grant. So
they, when we were talking about doing the trail on the other side, they discouraged us from doing that because they said there wasn't enough room there. I don't know if there's more room on the other side or not for the sidewalk, but they...
That's going to be my concern. That's quite a drop-off, and then you got the fence right there.
We'd probably have to build some, or, you know...
Yeah, a landing of some sort.
Yeah.
The other problem that you're going to eventually get addressed, I guarantee it'll come up in years, crossing the Family Dollar at Terrell's, because it's not supposed to be a straight through, but everybody goes straight through.
Yeah.
There's quite a few wrecks out there. And if you do it on the south side, you're going to have pedestrians, and somehow they get them across the highway.
To Terrell's.
The thing that's frustrating is people are walking out there anyway, and when you approach UDOT to do make something safer, they say, well, we can't do that because it's not safe. So you're like, well...
What are we going to do?
People are going to walk there anyway, so why don't we make it safer?
Give them a solution.
Yeah. So basically, for right now, it's just that we submit some data of, you know, how many school kids would be walking on that route, which school, and kind of...
So it's each of the schools still, about...
They're looking at all different pedestrians. They're looking at schools. They're looking at other pedestrians.
They've got quite a few Wasatchers that walk out there.
We got a lot of Wasatchers.
Yeah, bike tours are starting to use it going down there and crossing it.
Yeah.
Time too, I've seen.
Yeah. So I'm going to get with Colton, and we'll go ahead and fill this out and send it in and see if we can get any results back, but just kind of... heads up awareness or type deal. So
when did they say the funding will be available?
It doesn't tell us. It just says that we have to have our we have to be submitted by November 1st.
So we're too far away.
Yeah, and like I says, it's a pretty simple application for right now, just to submit where we'd like to do it and the state route number.
Great, if they'll let us do that.
And it has to, the thing is that this is different, is this has to follow the highway. It has to be on the state road.
Right,
where the other one you talked about is they help fund walkways off of the highway.
Yeah, within a mile or something.
Right. So, okay, we'll go ahead and progress with that. That is all I had.
Well, I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
Okay. Russ makes the motion we adjourn. All those in favor?
Second.
Sam seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Everybody needs to sign these for you.